God is good, and we worship Him in this morning. As Andrew said, the fellowship, practical fellowship, face-to-face, it's wonderful to have it. On Zoom, it's something, but it's not enough. It's not enough. We need to see each other. We need to speak on each other, because it's different. So I remember a few years ago, I don't know exactly which situation was and when, Andrew or I have been given me a same text from the Bible about the feeding of 5,000. Exactly. And in the same day, in the same Sunday, I remember, we were prepared to make a big barbecue in the back after. So I tried to apply this text to the next step. I said, let's pray to be enough meat and bread for the barbecue and God to multiply, you know. So now, I'm not coming really with a sermon, with points, with everything. I just want to share with you a few thoughts, what God gave it to me from this text these days. In chapter 6 here, there are a few miracles. Okay, so a few miracles, but I'm looking just for one, and especially from the text from verse 1 to 15. Practically the miracle of multiplied the food and Jesus feed the 5,000. I want to pray first because we need God's help to understand, and I need God's help also. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we will spend together in your presence in this morning. You say in Isaiah 55, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish that I desire. Teach us, Lord, from this text of the scriptures today, and open our hearts and minds to know you better. Amen. Today we will continue, as I said, this series of miraculous signs performed by Jesus in John 6, this time, when Jesus feeds the 5,000. The same story we have it in Matthew chapter 14, from verse 13 to 21, where we have the same event through Matthew's eyes. He was witness and he explained the same event again. I want to share with you just a few things from this, what God gave it to me. First word was inside, in this text I found it as a key word, if I can say that. There are a few keys to open this text, but one of them, I saw it, it's not exactly the same word, abundance. It's not quite the word abundance. But I found it here in verse 11, the last part in verse 11, when Jesus said to people to sit down, okay? And after 11, yeah, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks and distribute to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And after verse 13, so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Abundance. One word I focus on. We have a God of abundance. If we try to find God in this text here, we find the Heavenly Father. He has abundance in everything. We can see these blessings and abundance of God in God creation. If you are looking to the flowers, if you are looking to the seeds on the trees, it's an abundance of trees, of seeds in the trees. And it's an abundance in this life. And also, we can see, because God, our Father, Heavenly Father, He wants us to live an abundance life. He wants us to live an abundance life, full with blessings. Not only to struggle from one day to the other. Sorry. Okay.
Sorry.
Not only to struggle from one day to the other. Did you hear me again? Yeah, it has good. Sorry for that. It is. Okay. So he is full of blessings. And we can see that in Exodus, if we remember, he led 40 years in the desert, his people. And he offered them, he provided them, giving them food, water, clothes, and shelters, and protection, and health. He is able to provide an abundant life with everything we need to have. He is able to fulfill everything we need for us in our life. What we can see in the character of God in this text, I saw another thing is very important. Almighty Father, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, He is good. And He is full with compassion. When Jesus saw the people around, He had compassion on them. He said, we have to do something with these people. They were starving here. They are around us. They are listening, but we have to do something. So God has compassion for all people. He gave rain for the people who is righteous and for the people who are unrighteous. He gave food for everybody in His abundance, in His goodness. God in His goodness provide us our daily bread also. It's very important because many people, they don't realize that. Especially here in this country, we have an abundance life. We have food, we have shelters, we have money, we have everything we need. Compare with other countries. Compare when other countries' people are dying because they don't have water or they don't have food enough to survive from one day to the other. So what means that? Because He provides us daily bread, He needs to be glorified and we have to be thankful. Too many times I heard many people complain. Complaining the water, complaining the taxes, complaining the money, complaining everything, complaining. So we don't have to be one of them. We have to be ones to glorify Father for everything He gave us and for daily bread and for His provider. He gave us all He has, even Jesus, His Son. So this is amazing. He gave us all He has, the splendor of heaven. His begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has been given by Him to be our Savior, to be the perfect sacrifice, to be the Lamb of God. He provides the Lamb of sacrifice for our sins. So amazing Father, amazing God. And another thought, because God asked me how I respond to His love. How I respond to God for such a great love. How much Jesus worth for me? That was my questions. I addressed you because we all need to learn something. How much worth Jesus for me? How much worth for you? So my thought, I was looking in verse number 5. Because God, Lord Jesus gave them just opportunity to be tested. Yeah, in verse 5 He said, Jesus look up and where shall we buy bread? I will read just only the text in verse 5 when Jesus said, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test Him, for He already had in mind what He was going to do. And now I try to be like an encounter, to do some, to try to convert some things here. Just to think, just for a moment. Philip said, Lord, if we don't have enough to buy for everybody, even if we have wages, for 8 months wages, we will not be enough. So I was try to find out in my Bible, see in Greek translation, it's 200 denarii. Denarii was the Roman coin, the Roman money on that time. So 8 months of wages was around 200 denarii. So I tried to go in further to do a conversion. I tried to ask Google, but he don't know exactly, because it's not working to convert exactly in US dollars. They gave me some sum of US dollars, but it's not quite, because we are living in 21st century and they were living in other times. So the transaction are different. So they gave me £5,800 for equivalent for 1 month, that's 100 denarii. So that means a sum around, okay, don't listen to me, about $12,000. But this is just roughly, because I went in that accounting to go somewhere. God showed me something more important. So after that, where we see another text in John when it's speaking about the money. In John 12 verse 5, it's in Mary perfume, the equivalent of the Mary perfume. Do you know the situation when Mary came and broke the glass with the perfume and put to Jesus' feet? Yeah. And there was one of the disciples, Judas, arguing 300 denarii. So that means 1 year wage. 1 year wage, 300 denarii. 8 months wage was 200 denarii. In Matthew 22, same we have something about one Roman denarius was 1 day work. That was in a parable of working in a vineyard. 1 day, 1 denarii. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. They said again 43, but doesn't matter. I'm not give the contability. Everything was starting from these questions. Jesus, how much Jesus worth for you? How much faith you have? How much Jesus worth for you? Maybe will be not a study or something important, but I want to let you to go home with some questions. To have a deep life with Jesus, to think about deep inside about this situation. So if I have a few minutes more, I think Andrew will not execute me to give. I have a small story. How much Jesus worth for you? I heard, but that was a reality in a part of the world when some missionary camps was to evangelize people. It was in an Indian area. And after a few hours, when the speaker spoke about the Jesus and Lord Jesus and everything what he done, and one Indian came in the front and he said, when he asked, what do you want to give to Jesus? What do you want to give to Jesus? If somebody wants to come to Jesus. And one Indian comes to front and they say, I give to Jesus my rifle, my gun. You know, for an Indian, on that time, for an Indian, was something very important to give the rifle. My rifle, I have my rifle from my grandfather, I have from my father. Now this is very important for me. I give the rifle for Jesus. And he went back between the other people, and he didn't find any peace in his heart. He didn't find Jesus there. He didn't find something what he was expected to have. And after he came back, when the preacher said, if somebody wants to give something to Jesus, and he came back second time and said, Indian, give horse. I give you my horse to Jesus. After a few minutes, he went back, no peace in his heart. There was nothing in his heart. They say, I give my rifle, I give my horse to Jesus Christ. How much worse Jesus? And after a third time, he came back, he came in the front and said, Indian, give Indian. Indian, give Indian. He understand, because Lord Jesus, God, he didn't want our goods on this earth. He didn't want our money. He wants us to be. He want us to be him. He want our heart. He want everything we have. So how much in this question, how much how much worth Jesus for you? It worth our life. It worth everything we have. It worth our soul and everything we have. Okay, if we come back in, if we come back to the to our story, when the miraculous event feeding 5,000 people, what we have to learn from here? What we have to learn? It's all about bread. It's all about loaves, and it's all about fish. I ask God, what shall I take, Lord, from here? It's all about food, because all the people were so happy to have this, to have these things. They are natural, they are normal. We need it. We also need it. But it's all about this. The miracle, it's all about this. And in John, Jesus' answer here in John, I will jump from a few verses in the same chapter, because it's a connection, it's a link between the feeding and bread and fish and what Jesus said. Verse 26 in the same chapter. Jesus answered, when people came after him, after another day, he came after him, he found him, and he tried to follow him. But Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miracle sign, but because you ate the loaves and had you your fill. Do not work, in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. So the conclusion, all that crowd of people, they've been fed very well, and now Jesus wants to show them, to show a lesson from this miracle for everybody, for them and for everybody who is going to read this story. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, just I will read. We have a verse very important. Man has not lived on bread alone. Will spoke something about this one a few minutes before. A man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, the word of God, it's a bread. So that was the point. That was the point. That was the lessons to be taught by to all that crowd of people, because they understand not too much. Lord Jesus, as a conclusion, said, "You are coming because I gave you food." And in verse 15, Brother Andrew. Said verse 15, Jesus knowing that they indeed Jesus knowing that they intending to come and make him king by force. So they want Jesus to be their king by force, because Jesus provides them everything they need. They just staying and receive. Yeah, I think Lord Jesus want to show and to teach them faith in the Word of God, to have faith in the Word of God. And Jesus come in verse 35 on the same page, verse 35, with a very great affirmation. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So the real problem was there. They were looking for Jesus to make him king, only because he provided them everything for their daily life, but nothing about inside. Nothing about inside. 40 years in the desert, the people of God, they have been fed with everything. God gave them everything. But what was happened there? Nothing was changed in their hearts. Absolutely nothing. They complain. A lot of complaining. We don't food. It's good to have the garlic we used to have in Egypt. And all kind of stuff. And it's important for today. It's important for this message to take what is important. Because otherwise, we have just a nice reading. We have just a nice time, and we don't know what about this exactly. So now Jesus said in verse 48, I am the bread of life. In verse 51, it's on the other page, I am the living bread. So all this affirmation, what he gave them, and he gives us today through the Bible, it's for us to understand the miracle is to eat the real bread, to be fed inside of you. Now, let a little bit this text aside. And just imagine, God gave us imagination. This is a nice tool God gave us to use it in the right way, imagination. So imagine a picture. Imagine this picture of our text. Imagine a picture of a picnic. It was like a picnic there. Everybody was together. It was plenty grass. Was not happened everywhere in that area, that area, because the soil is not quite covered everywhere with the grass. But that side was a lot of grass, plenty teaching straight away from Jesus, powerful teachings, plenty food for their bodies. I don't know if they cooked. I think they make some fires around there, no? To cook the fish. I don't know. And the text didn't say because they lack water. So maybe was some water around for such many people. I don't think they carry water with them. So good time. Yeah? Let's see that. Good time. This picture. Good time. A good picnic. With Jesus in the middle. Abundance in God's presence. I take this conclusion. Abundance in God's presence. And how many times we see today, in our days, abundance in God's presence? All the time, in all the places, God create condition for people to hear the word of God. Let's take the evangelistic missionary camps or programs all over the world. Everything was provided for the people to hear the word of God, to hear what God wants to tell them. But how many understand the reality of to take the bread? I was many years ago, before to commit my life to Lord Jesus, I've been in a big camp, evangelistic camps in a stadium was. So I heard first impact with the word of God. I've been there to listen. And so many crowd of people around, they listen the word of God. And in that time, my heart was touched by the word of God. Not what everything was happening around. Good music, good people, good time, good place. It was a sunny day. It was excellent just to spend the Sunday somewhere outside. I was touched by the word of God because I understand, because I have to do something. How much Jesus worth for me. I have to show that how much he is worth for me. How much I have to bring to Jesus. So God create condition, abundance God. Create abundance condition, his presence. Everything is prepared only for the people to listen the word of God. What we learn in generally, it is a food for our bodies, yeah, for our belly, for our stomach. It's a food for our bodies, for our vehicle, I can say that. Because our body is just a vehicle. We really are a complex person. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we are living in a body. So we have to know that. So it's food for our bodies. That's okay. God will provide if we search first the kingdom of God in his righteousness. And after, it's a food for our souls. So we cannot mix these two. They are completely separate. So I heard a saying, sometimes people say, we are what we eat. I think some nutritionist people who try to do the best life to have in food, yeah, to put few grams of this, few grams of tea, just take together in the morning, in the evening, just to have a nice body, yeah. And everybody is looking, most of the people are looking to look nice, yeah, in exterior, everything to be excellent. But from inside, they don't care too much. So it is a food for our soul, yeah, it is a food for our body. And exactly how we try to eat a healthy food for our body, we don't eat any junk, yeah? We don't eat everything who's coming in our way. We have to sort it out. This is good, this is not good, this will be okay, this I need it, this is, the doctor say this is not good for you. Yeah, exactly the same, we have to be conscious for our inner being food, for our soul food. What kind of food he give? God gave us some sensors around, yeah, in this body. We have ears, there are some windows. We have eyes, another windows. Through these windows, we receive information. What kind of information we leave to go inside in our soul? And with this technology, today, it's very dangerous because people are looking too much for all kind of information. We have to sort it out. Not everything is healthy for our soul. Not everything is healthy for our soul. So, for our spiritual being, our soul doesn't eat material food, but spiritual food. What kind of spiritual food we eat, we will become. Exactly like the body. What kind of food we eat, we will have healthy or not. What kind of food, spiritual food we eat inside for our soul, we have also exactly the same. And now if we have to do a test, how much time we can survive without this physical food? Maybe a few days, and I don't know, 1 month, and after this body will die. No resources, no energy, absolutely nothing will die. How much time our soul need before to die? How much days without food our soul need to, before to die? So exactly the same, the soul can die, spirit, conscience, everything is inside if we don't feed it. If we don't feed it. And the most and healthy food is the Word of God. The most and healthy food is the Word of God. I just remind you in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3, where see, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, our thoughts, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So this is our responsibility to feed our soul, our inner being, as much as we take care of our body. Because otherwise will be consequences and we will see the results of that. And the good food is Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the test. Very difficult was for them, for many people who heard Lord Jesus Christ when he said that. I tell you the truth in verse 53. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in you. However, eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And I didn't want specifically to read this text, but just a part, because it's so hard to hear this for many people. So this is what the last part of the verse 57 said. So the ones who feeds on me will live because on me. Your fathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. So now we come to see, it's very interesting to find out, for many people they don't understand. Some people they ask me, how could I eat Jesus? How could I drink Jesus? How could I understand these verses? And not only for the people on our days, but also for the disciples. In verse 16 we read, on hearing it, many of these disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? So So many of them, they left Jesus, they go away from him because the teaching was so hard for them. So Lord Jesus is teaching us, especially in the John Gospel, in the first chapter of John Gospel, Jesus Christ is the physical, this is what I put here to remind myself here, this is Jesus Christ, he is the physical representation of the Word of God. God is Spirit. How could we see him if nobody will represent him physically to can see, to can understand him? And Jesus was the one who came in his name. He was the one who represent everything what God the Father is. So Jesus Christ is the physical representation. In John chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. After that, we're going further, the next verses. God is Spirit, but in John 1, in 14, he said the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So Lord Jesus Christ, he has a miraculous also birth, yeah, we know that. His father was not Joseph, but his father was God. This is one I read in Quran. I have one at home, and I try to read sometimes to see where it's been coming from, all this teaching. In Surah 19, it's an entire chapter about Mary. And there, it's about Jesus in a miraculous birth. Well, it was very clear. I don't know why they don't see that. But this is another story. But it was about Jesus Christ who had a miraculous birth. So God is Spirit. We can't see it. But Jesus came in his name, in his power. He came to become flesh for us, to can see him, to can hear him, to can touch him, and to can see how great God we have in him. He represents perfectly Heavenly Father. So in verse 12, so these are the purpose. Somebody asked me, how could I understand? How could I receive Jesus Christ? No, it's very, especially for the religious people in the big, I can't receive Jesus. How? But it's coming straight away in me. How could? No, receiving Jesus Christ, that means to the Word of God, it's very powerful. Receiving Jesus Christ, that means to agree with God. How could receive Jesus Christ? To invite him inside of us, to be in agreement with what he said, to obey his word, and to follow him. This is the point where your life will be changed. In verse 12, in the first chapter, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born natural, but it's about the spiritual born. When Jesus Christ is inviting, in John 14, he says, if you obey my teaching, we will come in you and we will live in you. And we know after resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ gave us another like him, Lord, Holy Spirit, to live inside of us and to be with us forever. So this is what we have. It's wonderful to understand what kind of bread of light to eat. So Lord Jesus said here, I'm almost to finish, but I want to finish with something what I put in my notices about Lord Jesus. He said, he who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. How could it happen that? How could we eat? As I've said, how could we drink, Jesus? Yeah, it's another type, drinks. So come back to what Andrew told us a few weeks ago, about in chapter 4, about the Samaritan woman. Yeah, if we remind ourselves about that text, verse 15, There, in that discussion we had, he had with the woman, he asked her to, if she wants to receive the water from him. Okay, so let me give you the text, the chapter 4, verse. Everyone who drinks, 13, who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I gave him will become in him a spring of water welling up eternal life, to eternal life. And I like, and I want to encourage us to be thirsty of this kind of water, Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Second, John the Baptist came to baptize for repentance, yeah? Baptized of John Baptist was for repentance. And Lord Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So the rivers of water is the Holy Spirit who will give you fulfillment. You will never thirst. And another, that was the drink. How could we drink? How could we eat? And we have here 6:35. Yeah, as I said, I'm the bread of life. Yeah. And I like when we see the word of God, you eat the word of God. In the Old Testament, we found few prophets when they had visions, and they have been given to them to eat the word of God spiritually, and they eat in a sense spiritually, they eat the word of God. But we have to read the Bible, we have to believe what Jesus said. We have to receive him. He is the bread of life. He will give us eternal life. And if we invite him in our lives, he will be the food, the real food, and he will give us fulfillment of everything is God, everything we need to have. We will have an abundant life as he wants us to have. And as the Samaritan woman said, Sir, give me this water. These guys in 34, they say, Sir, they said, the people who understand Jesus, the people who accepted Jesus and his teachings. In verse 34, they said, Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. So the bread of life and the water of life is Jesus Christ. God help us to be willing all the time to be thirsty after this kind of bread, to be hungry after this kind of bread. And Jesus Christ can fulfill us, can help us to have an abundant life in him. A physical life, good physical life, yeah? And a spiritual life as he wants. And I want to finish with a text, because the Word of God is everything. The Word of God is everything. And in Timothy chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, about the scriptures, because we speak about scriptures, this is the Word of God. The Word of God can give us everything we have to have for an abundant life. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be truly equipped for every good work. God help us to be thirsty and hungry after Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the water, living water. Jesus Christ is everything we need to have. To him be the glory. Amen.